It's a pleasure to say hello to you.
Mike, I can't believe you've been talking about this for a week.
Oh, yeah, I get excited about these things.
We don't even talk about it for a week in my own house.
I like to get the audience tuned in, see?
Boy, I'll tell you. Listen, if you ever give up radio, I got a spot for you as a PR guy.
You do pretty well for yourself, all the stuff I see. That's really good. So what? Let's see. I know one thing you did, but tell the audience what you did to go out and celebrate this day.
Pretty much what we do every year, we go out for bagels and coffee, and we circle all the mistakes in the local paper, mail it off to the editors. They look forward to this day almost as much as I do.
How long? Are we talking the Contra Costa Times?
I am.
Uh-huh.
You know this paper.
I do.
Their reputation is in the Midwest as well.
Well, I used to live in California.
Oh.
And I had a job interview up in Oakland. And so I see. And I know some people who've worked up there over the years.
You know, all those papers are owned by the same company now.
Yes. So goes the way of the world, I'm afraid.
Yes.
How did you come up with the idea for National Punctuation Day?
Well, I used to be one of those people. Actually, I must confess, I still am one of those people. Would sit around and mark up the paper, and I'd be cursing, and my wife would be getting aggravated because she didn't like that kind of language, and she kept telling me, I don't want to hear that stuff in this house. And so I decided, well, I'll legitimize my frustration. I'll start a holiday, and now I've got an excuse to do this and send this stuff back to the offending people.
And how many years have we been doing this?
This is 4 years now.
And not only are you in Chase's annual calendar of events,
yes,
but the teachers have a calendar too, right?
And I'm in there too.
And what's the title of that again?
It's called the Teacher's Calendar.
Oh, well, that was easy enough.
Yeah, there you go. And in fact, just a few minutes before we went on the air, I got a call from a teacher in Southern California. She saw it in the teacher's calendar, wanted to know if I had any materials to send to her.
Excellent. And, of course, you do, don't you?
Of course.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely.
And if she's of a mind, she can even talk you into coming down and putting on a performance with your wife about punctuation.
Oh, we have this great show called Punctuation Playtime, and we perform it in schools. It's 45 minutes, and we work only with little kids. Only with the kids, first grade, second grade, third grade, before they get into text messaging. You know, because, you know, in the early grades, you teach them all about complete sentences and vowels. And then by the time they get to middle school, there are no more vowels, and they're text messaging, and then they develop carpal tunnel in the thumb.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Listen, with text messaging and, of course, the Internet, you have an uphill battle trying to get people to pay attention to punctuation.
Don't think I don't know it.
Yes. I was telling folks, though, really, I've been talking about this for a while, and earlier in the program today, I was saying, as a former teacher, college teacher, I know this, people judge you by your looks, and that's sad, but it's true, when they meet somebody new. Secondly, though, as soon as you open your mouth, they're going to judge you further.
That's right.
And I've always tried to impress upon my students the importance of speaking properly and knowing what you're talking about. But these days, with our electronic world, how many people are sending letters of inquiry via email where they don't even get to see you or hear you speak?
You know, it's like showing up for a job interview in shorts and a T-shirt.
You're not supposed to do that?
No, you're not. I know, surprisingly enough, a lot of people don't know this. It's crazy. You know, some of my clients in my newsletter business are human resource directors for large companies. And they tell me stories about rejecting applicants because there were spelling errors, punctuation errors in the cover letters.
Here. One of my favorite stories, and this is a true one. I worked at a newspaper in St. Louis, which no longer exists.
Oh.
But the managing editor, in fact, the city editor, he was my mentor for 20 years, William J. Fustell. And if we had an opening, he began getting letters. If you didn't spell his name properly on the letter, in fact, just the envelope, he wouldn't look at it because you're a reporter. You're supposed to be accurate.
Oh, Mike, you are bringing up a sad, sad moment in my own personal history.
Yeah, you're a newspaper guy too, aren't you?
Yeah, and back in the 70s when I was living in Connecticut, my dream was to work at New York Newsday. Now, the publisher of New York Newsday lived in New Canaan, Connecticut, right next to Norwalk, where I was living and working.
You didn't work for the Norwalk paper, did you?
The Norwalk Hour. It's the only hour in the country. We used to call it the Norwalk Minute, because that's how long it took to read it. But I digress. Right next to Norwalk is New Canaan, and that's where the publisher of Newsday lived. And I wrote him a note telling him how badly I wanted to work at Newsday, and I spelled his name wrong.
Oh.
And he wrote me back and said, "You will never work at Newsday." And I never worked at Newsday.
It's important to know what you're doing. And for people who know, a semicolon is not the same as a colon. Don't use a dash when you mean a period. Don't do comma splices.
That's right. Ah, well, you know, I have to tell you, I got an email today from someone who told me that I was a fascist because I don't use comma splices.
Oh.
Now, last week on another radio show, I was told that I'm a fascist if I do use them. So, either way, I'm a fascist. I mean, I'll tell you, most of the mail I get that surrounds specific punctuation marks concerns the comma splice.
What don't people understand about it? They think as long as I'm talking about the same thing, I'll just throw a comma on there and continue it.
That's right.
Yeah. I used to do read a lot of journalism papers by beginning students.
Oh, you know, I went to Bradley University right up the road in Peoria, and I still have my papers.
Do you really?
Yeah, I had a teacher, Paul Snyder. He's the best teacher I ever had. He was a former bureau chief for United Press International.
Uh-huh.
And he used to have this rubber stamp, and the rubber stamp said F-E, capital F, lowercase e, stood for fact error.
Ooh.
And when you made fact errors on your papers, he would stamp your paper, and these F-E's are going in every direction, right side up, upside down, facing left, facing right. And I still look at those papers, and, I mean, it looks like I bled all over them.
Mm.
That's how many mistakes I made when I was a journalism student.
Of course, in school is the time to be making those mistakes.
Right.
Not when you get out and you think you're going to communicate with thousands or tens of thousands or more people in one fell swoop.
And wouldn't it be great if the editors were aware? Here, this is, you know, you mentioned the Contra Costa Times. You know, it's funny, this is a paper that every year wins Associated Press Managing Editors Awards in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, you know, what are they looking at? What's the criteria? Listen to this sentence. Well, just this phrase, of which he is a part of.
Oh.
Of which he is a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you know, I can understand if one of these clumsy reporters who's 28 years old and graduated from journalism school is making a mistake like that. But what about the 45, 50-year-old guy who's sitting on the copy desk?
Well, and as you know, all copy by the reporters, the local reporters, goes through a city editor, an assistant city editor, at least for the content.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah, then it goes to a copy desk editor who's going to go over with a fine-tooth comb. And, yeah, how could you let something that – well, you know what, though? In fairness to the reporter, and I've seen this happen – in fact, I'll just say it – at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I know this for a fact. A copy editor goes to change a sentence and then – forgets to delete the extraneous word after the change.
Mm.
Say, like that extra of in there, somebody may have gone back and changed the sentence and then, oops, didn't go back and clean up their own mistake.
So I'm wondering, do you think this stuff happens more frequently because of computers? Because in the old days, I mean, an editor, we were typing, of course, this is before computers.
Yeah.
We were typing on manual and then IBM Selectrix. But the copy went to an editor who marked it up with a pen.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Instead of just hitting a button and hoping spell check catches everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe computers are making it too easy for us. A lot of people say that about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Listen, we're going to run out of time, but Jeff, always a pleasure. And I'll tell you what, I know how to get a hold of you. We'll do this maybe at the halfway mark. We don't have to wait till September 24th again.
That's good. Good for me.
Listen,
I love talking about punctuation.
You and me both. Happy Punctuation Day, Jeff.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Every day, more than 40 babies are born prematurely.